Welcome to SEC Unfiltered, home of the best SEC content on the internet. The following is brought to you by our friends over at Prize Picks. Go download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com, and when you do, use the promo code SECU to receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks is the simplest fantasy game on the market, focused around prop total entries. You pick 2 to 6 players, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry. Prize Picks has no sharks, optimizers, or mass multi-entry guys. It's literally just you against the projection. They also allow mixed sport entry. So, for example, you can take the over on LeBron, parlay with the under on Mahomes. They've got college sports, pro sports, literally anything and everything you can think of. They have got it over at Prize Picks. They also have a slick, easy-to-use mobile app, both on the App Store and Google Play. They're rated 4.8 stars in the App Store with rave reviews as well. Guys, so many fans and listeners of SEC Unfiltered have made tons of money with our friends at Prize Picks, and you should as well. So again, go download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com, and when you do, use the promo code SECU to receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Be sure to check them out and tell them that Chris from SEC Unfiltered sent you. Let's get it.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
To the SEC Unfiltered platform. My name is Dave Schumate. I am your host here from Mach 10 Sports. Appreciate you joining us. If anyone knows a thing or two about what a successful season is, especially here in the last two decades, about 17 years, it's Alabama. It's the Alabama football program. It's the Alabama athletics department. It is Alabama fans. They understand and know success and probably could define it for you. That leads me to this. What would be considered a successful 2024 season in Kalen DeBoer's first year at Alabama in Tuscaloosa? Getting right to it. I think offensively, again, spring game was Friday, on Saturday. I think offensively they're going to be fine. I think they're going to be fine. I think this is the best offensive staff Alabama's had probably since 2020. And I don't think that's too far-fetched of a statement, really. But it could be on up there, maybe surpass it. I really like this offensive staff. I stated when this hire happened back in January, I like this staff, specifically on offense, from top to bottom, better than Alabama staff last year. I think that's the fair statement. It's better than Tommy Reese, the Eric Wolford staff, the Holloman Wiggins staff, stuff like that. I mean, Jamarcus Shepard's better, the receiver coach now. I think Nick Sheridan's more creative. Obviously, Kalen DeBoer is the bread and butter of this offense. I like it. I like it from top to bottom. Just a better offensive staff, in my opinion. I think Jalen Milroe is going to be much improved. I really do. I think he's going to be a much improved player. If you go back and look at even Kalen DeBoer stuff back at Sioux Falls, he has adjusted his personnel, or has adjusted his offense, I should say, to his personnel. And I think that tells you how good of a coach someone is. And I'm giving Kalen DeBoer them credit from what they've done in the past. They've done that. Will they do that this year? I can only go off what history is telling me, so I'm assuming they will. They'll play to his strengths. They've mentioned it in interviews, Nick Sheridan, Kalen DeBoer, when you've listened to them on either Josh Pate, the next round, whatever you listen to, that J.D. Pickell at On3. Everybody's been in Alabama's facility this spring, which is crazy to say because they've had so much more access than they've ever been. Conversation for another day, but just a new day at Alabama. So that's what we're talking about. What would be a successful season in 2024? But back to the offense. I think they're going to play to Jalen Milroe's strengths, and it wouldn't shock me if Jalen Milroe was an under-the-radar Heisman contender. Again, you look at the stats from Saturday at the A-Day game, 3 for 9, but he had 2 drops. First 2 series, they went for touchdowns. Though, I mean, Alabama's offense, first 4 series, I think 2 possessions was with Jalen Milroe, 1 Ty Simpson, 1 Dylan Lonergan. They scored on all 4. They had 3 touchdowns and a field goal. I like this offense. I really do. I like the running back room. No offense to Roydell Williams or Jace McClellan from last year, but I think with Jam Miller, Justice Haynes, Richard Young, Daniel Hill, the freshman they signed from Meridian, I think Justice Haynes, a thing you picked up on some maturity from him if you went back and watched A-Day's game or you're watching it live, is on the plate of Jeremy Bernard, Alabama's receiver, Jalen Moore. Justice Haynes had a big pass pro. He had a big blitz pickup that helped Jalen Milroe step up in the pocket and deliver the pass to Jeremy Bernard, who ended up being the A-Day MVP. But I really liked and that. And for people who are asking, that's what kept Justice Haynes off the field until the Rose Bowl last year, was his ability to pick up blitzes in pass pro. Nick Saban wasn't going to play you unless he wasn't going to play you if you were going to be a liability and could potentially get his quarterback knocked out of the game. But it looks like he's improved from that standpoint. You're going to see a lot more passes to the running backs out of the backfield, initial reads, simple throws. They've won with a lot of quarterbacks. That's why I think it's Jalen Milroe is going to be fine. Everybody's kind of talking about, is this a quarterback competition? I don't. I don't look into the stats. Again, I talk about spring games. Don't over – get excited, but don't overreact is the best way I've always simplified. We always used to talk about it in college football. Don't – you can get excited about some guys in the spring, but let's don't overreact. Let's see how they go through the summer when nobody's watching. They get into fall camp, the grind in August, stuff like that. I like the running backs. I mentioned that. I just went through that. Offensive line, Elijah Pritchett improved. I think James Brockermeyer, the center, has taken a tremendous stride in his development. They get Caden Proctor back in May through the summer, through fall camp, coming back from Iowa after he transferred in January. Receivers, I do think with Jalen Hale most likely being out for majority of the season, Jeremy Bernard looks like he's going to step up. They still have some guys that they probably need to have step up overall in the roster, though. This is somebody I could see Alabama adding in the transfer portal. I do like Kendrick Law. I think he's going to be used a lot. I think Emmanuel Henderson. I think they're going to use their edges well here because Alabama has a bunch of speed. They have a lot of speed. If they get to the edge, look out. You saw one play with Kendrick Law. I think he's going to have a big year. I like what Kendrick Law is doing here. Kobe Prentice looks like he could be that guy. I don't really see a real big possession-type guy, though, that can make a one-on-one play in the red zone. That scares me a little bit. Maybe scares the wrong one. Concerns me is probably the right word. So that's where I could see Alabama going to make some headway in the portal. A lot of people are looking for one, twos, and threes in the portal. I tweeted it out today. There's no better time to be a receiver in college football right now. You have so much leverage. Everybody's there looking for a number one at receiver, number two, just that next guy, or a three, a depth guy. I think Cole Adams, a redshirt freshman, could be another guy who steps up as well. So I like the offense across the board. Tight ends are what they are. They're fine. I like the offense across the board. Defensively, Kane Womack and his staff, Mo Lindquist, who I've worked before, does a phenomenal job. They'll have him right. A little bit more concerned. This is where the concerns come up to me. And I'll talk about it a little bit, what would be a successful season in a win total standpoint. But depth at defensive tackle, I like Tim Keenan. They get Jaheim Otis back from injury. He was dressed out on Saturday. James Smith, young guy, big-time prospect. He's developing. You saw him flash. He made a big stop on a third and one that I thought they had him short, and they gave him – on fourth down, I thought he had him short. They moved the stick. That's what happens now that Alabama has an offensive coach, Caleb DeWard. They're going to move the sticks if it's a close play, whereas Nick Saban has said, offense, get off the field. We got to stop. Experience in the secondary. I mean, the start in secondary, just going off the top of my head from going back and reviewed, it was Devontae Smith at the Husky position, I believe. Damani Jackson and Xavier Brown both starting at the opposite corners. They had Malachi Moore and Keon Sab, I believe, at the safety. So I think that's who you had at the five spots right there. I like Xavier Brown and also another young cat, Red Morgan, at safety. But they look young physically, and that's not their fault. It is what it is. I think they're going to be good players, like Xavier Brown a lot, modern-day transfer. Red Morgan, he's going to be a good player from Central Phoenix City as well. They just have to develop physically, but they're going to have to play probably a little earlier than expected. And I saw a lot of Malachi Moore playing that one high. He looks a little more comfortable in the box, but they moved Keon Sab there, the Michigan transfer. Maybe he's more comfortable in the box than Malachi, but that's not really what Malachi's done a lot. I don't know if he's ever really done that ever in his career. I wouldn't have practices. Couldn't tell you, but in games he hasn't. So that's a little bit of a concern there. Experience, but again, they're losing two first-round corners. That's tough to replace even in a place like Alabama, especially in today's time in the portal. I mean, with Kool-Aid McKinstry and Terry and Arnold moving on.
Today's episode is brought to you by Unified Healing. Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. No matter where you are, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/SEC to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/SEC. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
So I understand that. And obviously, you got to talk. Caleb Downs is going too. So they had some losses on the back end. They did. Trey Amos transfers to Ole Miss. So they had some losses. That's to be expected. That's a concern there. And also, I think the offense ran right at them. So really, I like Alabama's linebackers and Jahad Campbell, and I like Deontay Lawson. But I think a little bit on the interior defensive tackle I mentioned, need Jaheim Otis. You'll really like that. Wouldn't be shocked if Alabama went after a defensive tackle in the portal. Not maybe the LSU's extent. Like Brian Kelly said, they're going to really – that's all they're going to go after. But be on the lookout just like anybody else is looking for a difference maker in the transfer portal at defensive tackle. It's not going to happen a lot. Not going to be a lot of Walter Nolans out there. But Alabama will be looking at because I think – Alabama could get pushed around a little up front. That's a concern. Maybe not pushed around, but it's a concern that they will be not as good up front as they have been in the past. And that's even going back to Nick Saban in the last few years, they've been that great up front. I mean, we can talk about it all we want. This is the SEC. How many games are determined on third and ones, third and twos? I mean, Alabama, in the Nick Saban heyday, people always remember these, the A.J. McCarron pass to 2012. The series before that, Alabama had, I think, Nico Johnson, Adrian Hubbard had a big stop on fourth and one. This 2 years ago against Auburn, they got a big stop. Granted, was a little bit out of their control in 2021. Tank Bigsby goes out of bounds, save Alabama's time. Bryce Young to Jacory Brooks, Bama wins in overtime. I don't have to tell you. Just key mistakes late usually lose those big stop on third and one that people don't really remember, but they remember the Daniel Moore type painting picture. And if you don't know what Daniel Moore is, ask an Alabama Auburn fan. He highlights big plays in Alabama football history, does paintings of those big plays. So that's something that's a little concerning as well. It's just I think they got to get better in the front seven a little bit. I don't think it's bad. I just think to ultimately go get where they're accustomed to being there, to be a little bit better in the run game. And I think the secondary is, while talented, just a little experienced, physically underdeveloped. But again, they lost their top four guys, really, four out of their top five guys. I think Trey Amos was going to be a shoe-in starter the way he played in the second half of that Tennessee game when Terry and Arnold went out. Obviously, Terry and Arnold and Kool-Aid McKinstry, and I mentioned Caleb Downs. So Malachi Moore, really the guys back. Devontae Smith was coming on strong before his injury last year. Maybe he steps up that Husky position. But concerns on defense, those are my concerns. But to my point, what would be considered a successful season? I ran down, and to a special team standpoint, let me pause that. I think James Burnup's going to be fine. I do have concern about Talty a little bit. Naturally, they're just going to go down. Will Reichard was an all-time great, probably the best college kicker of all time. I mean, the stats back that up. That's going to be not a concern, but it's going to drop down a little bit. I was talking to somebody who's like, that's not going to be a strength for Alabama. Doesn't mean it's going to be a weakness either. It's not going to be as good as Will Reichard, but nobody realistically is expecting that. But to add on to that, that could cost you a game late. But realistically speaking here, first-year coach, I think he's a top five coach in the game right now. You can make a case top three. But there's going to be an adjustment period. And I always think a new staff, new culture, new ways of doing things, while it could be correct, and in the long haul, be great for you. Like Alabama, Nick Saban's first year in 2007, went 6-6, won their bowl game 7-6, had to do some things Nick Saban's way, had to process some people. But the next year they won the SEC West. It wasn't what he wanted in the first year. Had the loss to ULM, had a chance to go win the West against LSU, couldn't get a fourth down stop, but little things, but it ended up being better down the line. I always account for a new staff for the most part, having a loss, just counting a loss in, right, wrong, or indifferent, just because of change and adjustment on how things are getting done. That's not a bad thing. I'm counting that in. But from a schedule standpoint, Alabama's schedule, it's a pretty difficult schedule from an SEC standpoint. Opening up with Western Kentucky, South Florida at Wisconsin, need to win that one. And Georgia at home at Vanderbilt, South Carolina at home at Tennessee, Missouri at home, bye week at LSU, Mercer at home at Oklahoma, and Auburn at home. I mean, you got to think, Georgia, they should win the first three. Not saying they're gimmies either. Western Kentucky, South Florida with Alex Goish. I think it's going to be fine. And then at Wisconsin, that could be a tough matchup with Luke Fickell in his second year there. Obviously, Georgia, let's throw that at Tennessee, at LSU, Missouri, Auburn. I mean, say Alabama goes – I think Alabama's going to beat Auburn. I don't know if they'll lose many home games this year outside of maybe Georgia. So I'll say that. But again, wouldn't shock you. I mean, Vegas has the over-under 9.5. I think that's perfect. I think that's perfect. So if you're factoring in Georgia at home, at LSU, at Tennessee, let's just throw in Missouri – let's just say you go 2-2 in that, even at Oklahoma, depending how they are. That's fine. Let's say you go 3-2 in that. Georgia at Tennessee, at LSU, Missouri, and at Oklahoma. Because I think Alabama gets Auburn at home this year. I don't think Auburn's ready to go win that yet with Peyton Thorne quarterback. Let's say you go 3-2. That's still 10-2. So I think a successful season for Alabama would be 10-2, which would probably get them in the playoffs with expanding to 12 teams. And whatever happened is after that, frosting on the cake, gravy on the mashed potatoes. That's how I would say it. If you're a realistic Alabama fan, or if you're Kalen DeBoer, he would never admit this, but I think a 10-2 playoff appearance, maybe host a playoff game, because remember, highest seed in those first round games that don't get the top four buys, host at home. So I would say that's a first, that would be a successful season, because I know Alabama fans are, let's win a national championship. That should be the expectations, SEC championship. Again, I think you got to account for some adjustment there. I'm going to count a loss there. And then the schedule itself, I mean, it's already difficult, even if Alabama's rocking and rolling on all cylinders. Remember, Nick Saban only had two undefeated seasons in his entire career, 2009 and 2020. So even he lost games every year. So I'm going to factor that in. 10-2, I think, would be a successful season for Alabama with a playoff appearance. And like I said, anything after that, icing on the cake, gravy on the mashed potatoes. But again, guys, I appreciate you joining us on this segment of what would be considered a successful season at Alabama in 2024. Again, I think 10-2 playoff appearance.
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.